Sometimes it's moments like this when we've had just wonderful music leadership. I'm like, let's be done. That was a message right there. Elizabeth, I don't know, but I think your Mando is about to catch on fire. I don't know what's going on there. It's starting to smoke a little bit. Yeah, it's really cool. Have you ever needed a gift that you didn't know you needed? You desperately needed a gift, but you didn't really know that you needed that gift. Well, that's happened a couple times to my wife over the years. One Christmas, underneath the tree with her name on it, was a package. It was a kind of a large package, but it was very, very thin. And we usually talk about what we're going to get each other or whatever, but there's always one surprise here or there. And as she opened it, she realized that it was a cutting board. As stunned as she was, as you are now. But actually, she knew what I was doing. It was a cutting board that was big enough to fit an entire Packer brisket on it, so that after I smoked it, I could cut it up without getting grease all over the countertop. Now, she didn't realize that she needed that gift, but she did. Desperately needed that gift. And over the years, as I've made lots and lots of barbecue and used that board, she realizes that she needed that gift. Remember Blu-ray? Remember Blu-ray, DVDs, all those kinds of things? Back in the day, that was it. Well, she didn't know she needed a Blu-ray player. She didn't know. And one Christmas, underneath the tree, there was a package with her name on it. And as she opened it up, she realized what it was. It was a Blu-ray player. And she's like, okay, another gift for me, for you. And I said, you need this gift. This is a great gift. It's the latest. It's the greatest. It's Blu-ray. And now the fun thing is that when my daughter comes home from college, or even before that through Christmas breaks in high school, they would break out the packet of DVDs or Blu-ray discs for Harry Potter, and they would watch every single Harry Potter movie over the Christmas break. So she didn't know she needed it, but she did. Now, the same thing is true with the Israelites, but a little bit more serious. As we've moved through the Hebrew scriptures, which are our scriptures, we start with Genesis, and we listen to all those stories, and we see ourselves in these origin stories. And we realize what God is trying to do. God is trying to find a partner, someone, not a perfect partner, someone, and then a couple, Abraham and Sarah, and then an entire family that will partner with God in God's mission in the world. Not perfect people. They make lots of mistakes, but they know how to live in sacrifice. They know what it means to give up for the other. And that's what God is looking for. God is looking for partners that will give up something for the other. And this family makes it into Egypt, where they become slaves after a couple of generations. And then God has this epic battle with Pharaoh, empire versus shalom, to free the Israelites. Empire, so seductive. Empire is all about power and what I can get out of things. And shalom is all about love and what we can give back. And God is saying, we're not about empire. We're not building a nation of empire. We're building a nation of shalom. And God frees God's people, and then God tries to teach them through the end of Exodus and then all the way through Leviticus how to do that. How do you hold empire at bay and live in shalom? And God gives them all kinds of ways of living and ways of being together, ways of shalom. And at the center of all of Leviticus is this idea that God is giving us ways to get home. God is giving us ways to know that we're forgiven. Every single one of those weird sacrifices that we talked about in Leviticus are all about how we can become forgiven. God wants to forgive us. God wants that relationship. God's not holding something over us. And then we hit this book of Numbers. And in the very beginning, this book of Numbers is moving people out of from the mountain they were at all the way into the desert, and they wander for a while. But God gives them something they didn't know they needed. They needed it, but they didn't know. It wasn't a cutting board. It wasn't a Blu-ray player. It was a blessing. God says, you're going to need this blessing, and you're going to need it as I teach it to you. They didn't ask for a blessing. If you remember the story with Jacob and Esau, both of them asked for a blessing. But they didn't ask for a blessing. They didn't know that they needed a blessing. And the blessing is one that you and I still hear in our church life together. May the Lord bless and keep you. Have you heard that before? May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor or his countenance upon you and give you peace. And at the very end, God says, and they shall put my name on the Israelites. You ever put your name on something? Do you ever put your name on something? You put your name on something that you're proud of. You put your name on something that you love. You put your name on something that you hope the best for. I've said this before in other sermons, but as I would leave the house every Friday night or Saturday night, if I was going to go hang out with friends, my dad would always say, remember who you are. You are a dean. I've put my name on you. My reputation is at stake. And if you go out and you blow it, it's not just going to be you. It's going to be the rest of the family. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God is hoping for us. By putting God's name on us after teaching us how to receive a blessing. Now, this blessing comes in three different parts. And as I was reading through that over the last several weeks, I started thinking about this seems interesting. It starts with a blessing and to keep you. Well, what does keep mean? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Well, the keep means I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to keep you well. Now, I wasn't the best student growing up. I don't always have all of these different concepts figured out. But as I was talking to somebody about this a couple weeks ago, I go, you know, this is like Pavlov's pyramid of needs. And they're like, I kept saying that, and they kept looking at me confused. They go, it's Pavlov's dogs, Paul, not Maslow's laws of needs. So I got those messed up, but now I'm clear. Anybody hear that Maslow's law of hierarchy of needs? Anybody know what's at the very bottom, what human beings need more than anything else to start off with? Safety and security. Once human beings have safety and security, then they're able to do other things. But if they're so worried about safety and security, it's a major struggle. It's a major struggle. They're just surviving. Now, bless you and keep you is all about safety. God is trying to meet our basic needs at the basic level and say, I am here for you. And then as we go up the pyramid, we read the second part of the blessing. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. This is all about moving into love and belonging. It's hard to have love and belonging if all day long all you're doing is worried about your safety and security. But once we've got safety and security at some level, we can think about love and belonging. God is saying, in that moment, my face is going to shine on you, and you're going to need grace. You're going to need grace because you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. I know who you are, God says. I got you. And then does anybody know the very top part of Maslow's pyramid? You guys must all went to Texas like I did. Self-actualization. What is the self-actualization in this? The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Has anybody self-actualized yet in your life? But we have glimpses of it. We live in moments of peace. In moments where we go, okay, this all makes sense. Until it doesn't again. And then God comes and says, I'm gracious. And God says, you have my full attention. That's what this countenance is. The full intention of God. You have my full attention. I have a really good friend of mine. We go hang out every once in a while, not as much as we'd like to, but whenever we'd get together, we would always talk about our families, what's going on with our kids, what's going on with our parents, how our jobs are going. But one day he got an Apple Watch. Excuse me, I'm not going to pick on Apple Watches. I'm just going to pick on what we do with them. He got an Apple Watch. And now when we go out for coffee, guess what he does? How's your family? How are your kids? How's the job going? That's not what God is doing. God is giving us God's full attention. Not distracted by watches or text messages or phone calls or emails. God says, I am here for you. Right now, you have all of me. And that gives us peace. Now we fast forward a couple hundred years to the time of Jesus. Faith read both of these numbers and Mark. And Jesus is going to send out his disciples to do the very same thing that God is doing in Numbers, to bless the people. We see this word repent, and it's not really like a word where it's, you know, we have to repent and change our morality. What repent means is turn 180 degrees from where you're walking and turn the other way. And in doing that, you know that you are blessed. So Jesus, I imagine Jesus sending out these people with this couple verses from Numbers on his lips going, go out to the houses, go out to these people and bless them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance on you and give you peace. And God says, not everybody's going to take that blessing. Not everybody's going to take it. And Jesus says, when you run into that, just walk away. Shake the dust off your feet. Just go somewhere else. Because not everybody's going to want that blessing. And by the way, when you go out, you don't take anything with you. No food, no change of clothes, nothing. Because the expectation is when you run into a house, or you come up to a house or a dwelling, and you give them this blessing, there's opportunity for them to welcome you into their house, which is another kind of blessing, and they're going to feed you, and they're going to take care of you until you move on your way to the next house. You and I are grafted in, as the Apostle Paul says, to this tree that Jesus is growing, this tree of movement, grafted in as one of the disciples. And here at Prince of Peace, how are we providing safety and security for people? You know this. You volunteer at it, some of you. Mission Outpost, you can say it. Mission Outpost, we're providing safety and security for people. Dental care, eye care, sometimes a medical clinic, a safe place for kids to come for different camps, a safe place for people to come and worship and be in community with one another. How are we helping people have connected to love and belonging? Right? We gather in community. We gather through small groups. We gather to help one another live and have those conversations and have that life. And then we come and we pray for peace, that we would experience it now, on earth just as it is in heaven. But there's other ways we can do that as well. We can do this individually. If you've ever been in an area where you might be able to provide just a little bit of help to somebody, a good friend of mine, we've been in small groups for a long time. My wife and I were in small groups, and I wasn't able to go to one of these small groups that we had. And she came home, and later on I found a knit cap, a McDonald's gift card, and an energy bar, all in this hat. And I picked it up. I was like, oh, this is cool. So I ate the energy bar. And I put the hat on my head, and I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my friend. His name's Chad. And I said, Chad, thanks for the hat. I don't really wear hats like this, but thanks you. And I guess I'll go to McDonald's at some point in time, you know. And he goes, Paul, that wasn't for you. You're supposed to keep that in your glove box. And when you run into somebody that's homeless, you can give them a McDonald's gift card, a knit hat, and an energy bar. Go guess what I was doing. I was going to buy the energy bar to put it back in the hat, to put it in the glove box. Simple. Simple things that we can do. Simple things that we can have prepared and ready. How many of us are driving around the Twin Cities this summer getting caught in construction traffic? How many blessings have you been sending out? I'm not going to judge. But what if in those moments we're ready for whatever cuts you off or somebody else, and this is closed, and Sarah almost didn't make it here last night because they closed down everything. How about instead of like, oh, how about a blessing? How about a blessing? Even if they never hear it, it's just in your car. But you know what that does? When you give a blessing, who does it change? It changes you. It changes me. Reference that orange I brought out a couple months ago. Remember the orange? When you squeeze an orange, what do you get out of it? Orange juice. You may want pineapple juice. You may want grape juice. You may want apple juice. Sorry, you're getting orange juice. Whatever's in us, when we get squeezed, it's going to come out. If it's anger or frustration or anxiety, when we get squeezed, it's going to come out. Or maybe, just maybe, we can believe the blessing that we may not even know we needed. So that we get squeezed, what's come out is, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord have his countenance in front of you and give you peace. Amen.